Welcome. You're listening to Inherited, a sound-rich, solutions-focused youth storytelling podcast about the climate crisis. I'm Shaylin Martos, your Season 3 host. In Episode 2, Paloma Moreno Jimenez wove an original folkloric fiction narrative about the importance of maíz, frijol, and calabaza in indigenous Latin American communities. If you haven't yet listened to Maíz's Vida, go do that right now. I got the chance to speak with Paloma during the earlier stages of production about their previous audio work, inspirations for this piece, and adjusting from student life to the professional realm. Here's Paloma Moreno Jimenez.
My name is Paloma. I use she, they pronouns. And I see myself as a storyteller first most, and currently in my life an audio storyteller because I've really fallen in love with audio.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Paloma, you've worked in audio for a bit now, which is mm-hmm. awesome. You are an accomplished producer and engineer as well. So can you tell me a little bit about that journey so far and your goals for the future?
Oh my gosh, hearing you say that means a lot. Yes, my journey with it, my junior year of college, I did a program through my school where we got to spend 3 months in New York. And at the same time, we got to do an internship. So I applied to intern at Radiolab, and this was like zero audio experience whatsoever. I didn't even know what podcasts were, but I feel like I love collaging. So mm-hmm. like collaging visually, collaging, like sound collaging, just mixing mediums and stuff to create more like abstract, like textures, like different textures within a story. That represents like the layers, the complexity of whatever I'm focusing on. Mm-hmm. And so I applied to Radiolab, but at that point I didn't see it as journalism. It felt very distant, like very unreachable for me to call myself a journalist or like a reporter. You know, at the end, I think like everybody's journalism is different, and especially for people of color, like immigrant folks, like inevitably I think you're going to bring your own experience into it. And so coming to terms with a style of journalism that might not be as objective.
Yeah, quote unquote, and objective. So it sounds to me that like including your perspective and then making things very complex, but then also sonically, how to make things interesting and complex sonically. But I would love to talk about this piece in particular. It's a completely narrative piece about the role of frijol, calabaza, and maíz in indigenous communities. And you made the choice to personify each of these foods as sisters who grew together and died together in the harsh environment that humans created. So what inspired this choice? What inspired this narrative?
It really came, one, from my grandma. My grandma passed away when I was, I think, middle school. And we had immigrated to San Diego. And during the time, my sister and I didn't have papers. So we couldn't cross to like visit our family, right? One of the things I come back to often is like a craving for like having my elders around me, because all of my elders have passed away, unfortunately. So for me, it was a way to reconnect with my grandma as well, because she grew up in Osoluama, Veracruz. And my dad, like oftentimes I'll sit with my dad and just like try to dig his brain for like stories of my grandma or who she was and where she came from. My grandma's grandma was Totonaca. Mm-hmm. And so that's a part I'm really interested about, but has been hard for me to like find more about. And I know that my grandma grew up, you know, in a rural area, growing corn and making tortillas a mano. Like her cooking, her cuisine was incredible. And her tamales were out of this world. And I remember, like, when we would go for Christmases and, like, you know, Navidad, she would make the tamales from scratch. And it was just...
That's a labor of love.
Labor of love. Yes. So a big part of it is inspired by my abuela and wanting to connect with her. Another part is maize is so important in, you know, like Mexico, Central America, South America, like, but I grew up with just hearing like maize is vida.
In this piece, you essentially are kind of creating your own folklore. And is that kind of influence or connected to the stories that you hear from the other Latinx communities that you've either been a part of or have supported or were welcomed into?
Recently, last summer, I went to Guatemala. My dad and I actually did the trip together. When he was younger, he was living at the border with Mexico and Guatemala, but he was going to cross over, but he couldn't because of the civil war.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd always wanted to come back at one point to, you know, get to know the country. We were in Laguatitlán and we did a hike called Rostro Maya. And the tour guide, his name was Mingo. And he is from Laguatitlán. He and his family are indigenous to like the first peoples that were from Laguatitlán. Mm-hmm. And when we were climbing the mountain, we saw these huge, like, maize plants, huge. Wow. Like, I had never seen like maize that tall. And my dad and I were just like, shook, right? And Mingo was telling us about the volcanic lands because Laguatitlán is surrounded by volcanoes. Mm-hmm. And so the land is so fertile, but it was a whole community who could come and grow their food. It was like shared, you know? And so I got really emotional, I think, because I feel like we really take for granted our environment. At least I didn't grow up exactly like understanding what relationship I had with my environment, right?
Mm-hmm. And so right now, at this point, you finished three different versions of your script and you're gearing up for your final tracking session. Has this experience helped you grow as a journalist, as someone in audio and podcasting?
Yes, 100%. Writing a fiction story was something I hadn't done before, especially for audio. It reminds me of what I'm capable of and that I am a storyteller. I think oftentimes I kind of discredit myself. So I definitely feel like it's helped me grow and feel more confident in my ideas.
While change may not happen overnight, the movement for a more just society is gaining momentum. Tune in to Crooked Media's Pod Save the People, where every week you can learn about the stories that are impacting communities of color from people of color, with hosts DeRay McKesson, Kaya Henderson, Miles Johnson, and Diara Ballinger. Pod Save the People gives an exciting blend of politics, culture, and social issues all in one place, from book censorship to discussing Beyoncé's impact on society. Tune in to Pod Save the People every Wednesday on your favorite podcast platform.
If someone told you to jump off a cliff, would you do it? No. But there is something to be said about leaping into the unknown. That's what our podcast, Outside In, is all about. It's a safer way to explore all the weird, wonderful, and uncomfortable questions you have about the natural world. Like, what's it like to decompose?
all of the germs and bacteria is saying, okay, baby, we got to get rid of this person.
Or why the hell do we have lawns?
Who the hell needs 5 acres of ornamental grass?
I'm Nate Hedgie, host of Outside In, a podcast where curiosity and the natural world collide. Sometimes it's serious, sometimes it's ridiculous, but it's always a wild journey.
Woo! Oh,
that's Outside/In from New Hampshire Public Radio.
A conversation that you and I had very early on, you reached out and asked me about hiring in this industry. And we talked about how difficult it is to find full-time work. And I am so proud that you have gotten your first full-time job.
Yes.
I think our listeners could really benefit from hearing your perspective on hiring in the industry, especially right now.
Oh my gosh, it was a journey. I was on a job hunt, I think around 7 months, and I know people who have been in it much longer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I graduated last June. Yeah, last year. It's hard. It's like you need to have a portfolio, but it's an entry-level job. And so something really precious I learned through my job search journey was beyond applying to full-time jobs. I started applying to like projects like Inherited and NPR Next Gen Radio. And those were really helpful experiences because it helps you build your portfolio, but also reminds you of like, I'm in it and I love it. And like what I'm doing is worth it, you know?
And hopefully you get paid for
yes,
those projects.
Yes, no, 100%. There's a lot of like paid gigs. Like pitch calls are really great. And then you get to do your own thing and be your own, you know, manager in a sense of like what story you're creating and how you want it to be made. But yeah, it's definitely difficult. The first 3 months were hard, and then I had to learn to give myself more grace. I know it's difficult as well, like depending on your financial situation. But I think networking, as icky as that might be, I think I learned a different, what works for me. Mm-hmm. So I think I learned that I want to reach out to people I'm genuine, like just fascinated by and like would love to be friends with and just have a genuine conversation, you know, like, I think when I started doing that, I started feeling a lot more validated. I think it's just key to start creating an audio community. So like you feel supported and encouraged in the process. Yeah.
See, that's a really, really great way to rephrase this like really toxic idea of, oh, journalism is all about who you know. Like, oh, you're not going to get a job unless you know someone high up. But it seems to me, like in your experience, it was less about meeting like really impressive people and then getting a leg up that way. But it was about like fostering that community.
I think for a while, I had a lot of ideas, but before I would even explore them, I would shut them down. And one thing a friend told me that we were talking about it and they were like, I'm tired of having a graveyard of my ideas. Like, I want to let my ideas live. And I would encourage folks to also let their ideas live. They're not going to be perfect. Yeah, let yourself create and you'll figure it out as you go. You're going to grow up a lot through it.
I mean, yeah, growing pains, you know.
Yes.
Cool. As we wrap up our conversation, I mean, I could sit here all day and talk to you, but as we wrap it up, is there anything that you'd like to plug?
Yeah, I just did a story in, what was it, March for Next Gen Radio, and it's about, you know, navigating queerness in the home. And I would love to plug that. you know, it was a very special story to me. I think I related to it a lot. Yeah, the story is called Coming Out and Coming Home. It's on Next Gen Radio's LA USC website. Yeah, you can find it there.
Great. Paloma, do you have anything else you'd like to share with me?
No, that's all. I appreciate you a lot. I really love talking to you every time. But yeah, I don't have anything else. I just want to say thank you to Inherited for, you know, letting me explore ideas and create a beautiful story. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Paloma, for making the time to talk with me today. I just really appreciate getting the chance to talk to you, and reach out anytime, anytime. Your community will uplift you.
Thank
you. As long as you pay it forward and you lift as you climb.
100%. Yeah. Thank you so much, Shaylin.
Thank you for joining us for this bonus episode. Season 3 of Inherited continues Wednesdays wherever you get your podcasts. Next week, storyteller Mo Isu shares his own memories and the voices of Nigerians adapting to devastating yearly flooding in the Niger Delta region. Inherited is brought to you by YR Media, a national network of young journalists and artists creating content for this generation. We're distributed by Critical Frequency, a podcast network founded by women journalists. For more information about our show, team, and storytellers, visit our website at yr.media/inherited. See you next week.